Today's episode of the Not That Great podcast is available wherever you find your podcasts. Spotify, Stitcher, the other ones, Google Podcasts, you know, Overcast, all the other stuff. Anchor, more specifically. Anchor now owned by Spotify, so I guess we're doubly available on the same service, whatever. I don't know how that works. We're back. It's been a month. Apologize for the slow start this year, this season. But, you know, life getting in the way, job that I've since quit. I quit to do podcasting full time. No, just kidding. But, you know, timing wasn't working out for a while, and we're hoping to remedy that. But we appreciate people sticking with us. We still talk about stuff that's fun and relevant, and this is no exception. Alex Brown on the show today, we're going to talk about, or we did talk about, the Celtics and the miniature free fall kind of they seem to be in for a team that's 13, 14 games over 500. People panicking. Rough loss last night to the Raptors, which, I mean, the worst thing about that is that they're Canadian, but excuse me. But what can they do? What's the problem? Alex Brown has many loud opinions that he forcefully screamed into his phone, and I recorded it for your listening pleasure. So that's coming up. We touch on some Bob Kraft stuff also, which is really, you hear us talk about it. It's not good. And a little bit of wrestling, just because we're 38 days away from the first ever Not That Great field trip. We're off to WrestleMania. I've mentioned it before. That's coming up soon. So, and we're also having the Not That Great Summit in 2 weeks' time at the Tuckaway Tavern here in New Hampshire. Especially all of us going out to get drunk and fat. So, I mean, you can't come, but I felt like you should know about it. We're doing it. So, and I'm sure that that will birth many great ideas you'll hear here on the podcast in the future. So, you got that going for you. So it's Alex Brown and me, Moose and Dez, in the house today, this Wednesday. Don't panic about the Celtics, even though Al Brown screams that he's panicking. Let's go.
Make it a double, I can take it another. Get so hard to chase it, live up to. Yeah, it slides away when you're running. Like my Uncle David, who never lived to escape it. The trouble you were about to cave in. Give up to talking in your basement. We decided.
A little bit of a panic mode podcast here. We got Alex Brown, who is our resident NBA and, more importantly, Celtic expert. Celtics have lost 5 out of 7. Clearly haven't activated yet. Last night, drubbing by the Raptors, who are no slouch. So, I mean, that's nothing to shake a stick at. But the way that they played and looked overall, not very confidence-inducing if you're a fan of the green. So, Al, It's hard to be like really panicky about a team that's 13 games over 500, but where's the Achilles that may eventually get ruptured when this team gets in the playoffs and faces against, you know, these Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, and even the Pacers teams that are some of them playing still very well for no apparent reason, but or no reason that's been discerned yet. What are they missing that all these other teams have?
That is a very long answer.
Good. We have plenty of time. This is our show. We can go for as long as we want.
Cool. So I'm going to do this in sort of a rant / roundabout kind of response.
Okay.
So Kyrie Irving has been on a very bizarre fucking roller coaster since before the season even began, right? So we went from Kyrie making these overtures to Boston, talking about having his number retired and I'll resign if you have me. Like, and I'll resign if you'll have me. Like, you know who said I'm yours if you'll have me? My grandmother did when my grandfather proposed to her in the 1940s. Like, what kind of a fucking... Also, He's talking about having his number retired in the Garden, and then all of a sudden you jump to these young guys, and I had to call LeBron and apologize, and I don't know anybody's shit. And it's like, to all of a sudden getting pissy when people are asking about, you know, him basically playing footsie with Kevin Durant in the fucking hallway at the All-Star game. He's like, why are people asking me all of these questions? It's because you won't shut the fuck up, Kyrie. You know who hasn't been talking shit? Who is a free agent and no one's really talking about him at all? Kawhi Leonard. You want to know why? Because he's a fucking mute. Shut up, Kyrie. Like, is this Mean Girls? This childish sophomore bullshit? And then they're like, why is everyone talking about me? It's because you're bringing all of this fucking attention to yourself. I will pay for your Uber to Logan Airport, pack your bags, have you in fucking New York, one-way ticket. I don't give a shit. He's been an amazing basketball player this season. But in all honesty, this is the Bill Simmons Ewing theory in spades. When Kyrie is on the court, the rest of the team might as well put their hands in their fucking pockets and kick rocks. And I'm completely fed up and sick of basketball experts on the worldwide leader in sports saying, well, you need that dagger. You need that closer. They're absolutely better with Kyrie on the fucking court. Well, that means absolutely nothing when your team is playing like this. We are the fifth seed when we should be at bare minimum the third, and we're not going to have home court advantage even the fucking first round. And everyone's saying it's Gordon Hayward or the young guys. But no one says, hey, this 26-year-old who thinks he's a grizzled vet won't stop putting his team on blast and only had 7 fucking points last night. That's your dagger? Really? They have a winning record. The Celtics have a winning record without him, and it's significant. They are 21-3 at home without him since he arrived in Boston. Our defensive net rating is better without him. Now, technically, our offensive net rating is better because his talent level and scoring is so high, but everyone else takes a back seat and is not able to get their shit going. When Kyrie isn't playing, it turns into offense by committee. The ball moves more. The usage rate of everyone else goes up. Stevens is a coach who wants a lot of movement in his offensive sets, and that's hard to do with Kyrie dribbling the ball 7,000 fucking times in a single offensive possession. It's like having the wrong engine in your car. There are things that matter, like togetherness, effort, spirit, trust, intensity. When you have a bunch of fucking media guys saying there are 4 or 5 guys on your team available for Anthony Davis, and then it's like, well, you just have to wait until July to find out if your fucking job is safe and what laundry you'll be wearing, and the trust of that team goes down the shitter. So when you have someone who is a professional statistician, this dude, Dean Oliver, tweeting out something, I don't have the fucking tweet off the top of my head, but it was along the lines of, the Celtics numbers when Kyrie isn't playing, like just out of the game, like he's hurt or something, compared to when he is playing but just on the bench resting, everyone on the team is better. And do you really want to give a fucking 5-year max contract to this slut? Like, I don't want him. I don't want him anymore. There are certain athletes that just are not made to play in Boston, and he's clearly shown his colors that he is not one of those guys. I will take Marcus Smart over Kyrie Irving for the better of the team any fucking day. And I realize that in a vacuum, that seems absolutely insane and stupid, but he has shown absolutely nothing that tells me that he's a leader. Just doing this bitchy, fucking passive-aggressive shit like a goddamn high school student. And then last night he's being interviewed and he's like, well, that's up to Brad. That's Marcus's opinion. And just these little, like, take some ownership, Kyrie. Like, if you want to talk about it, be about it. Like, actually be a leader. Get your fucking Irish up and go out there and ball the way you're supposed to, but keep your guys involved and engaged. It's horseshit. And I'm completely tired of all of this drama and nonsense because he just can't keep his goddamn mouth shut. Rant over.
Wow. Okay. Jesus Christ. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah. we can go through that bit by bit if you want, but I needed to get that out because I'm furious.
Fair. Okay. We will do that momentarily. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do it slowly, okay?
Yeah.
Let's start with, oh boy, there's so much, Al. I mean, you just.
I know. I kind of went flamethrower there.
All right. So we have, all right. So we're sitting in the five seed. You've got games coming up that are, none of them are guaranteed win games. I mean, except for maybe against the Wizards, right? The next like 10 or so games are against teams that are generally contending, except for like the Wizards, Hawks, right? But you've got Golden State, you got Sacramento, you have a game against the Lakers, they're in free fall. We can talk about that later. Portland is tonight. Do you think that they're going to be able to round into shape regardless of – do you think that – I'm trying to phrase this right. Can they overcome the Kyrie of it all? And if so, how?
I mean, that is incredibly difficult to answer because thus far they really haven't. There's always kind of the post All-Star break hangover with just about any team. But this one has been bad. And if Kyrie isn't scoring the way that we know he can, that's even worse. Like, he shot so poorly last night. And he made Kyle Lowry look like the defensive player of the year, which, I mean, Lowry's an okay defender, but he's not, it's not Marcus Smart guarding him. It's not like one of the top defensive guys in the league. So there's going to have to be, I mean, Brad Stevens is going to have to figure something out rotationally, but I feel like Kyrie is just sabotaging this entire, you know, final third of the season. I mean,
let's act like I'm asking you this question before the deadline and after the deadline, right? So I'll ask you it first before the deadline. Should they trade Kyrie? Well, let's act like it's before the deadline right now. The obvious target is Anthony Davis. Should they trade Kyrie?
I mean, if you can get a gigantic haul for him, I'd say before the All-Star break, I probably would have still – because I've been holding out and continuing to defend Kyrie for most of this time and saying that, you know, obviously he's the best player on the team and his efficiency numbers and everything like that. But, man, it's hard for me to say what – I mean, before the All-Star break, I would say don't trade him.
Okay.
But –
and honestly, now you're saying.
Now I'm saying I would take a haul for him. Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, there's only one acceptable haul, though, right? I mean,
it would have to be an acceptable haul, and I wouldn't want there to be more draft picks because it's like we've had.
That's just kicking the can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's only so long you can do that.
Right.
I mean, unless it's like, hey, you could get, you know, RJ Barrett or Zion Williamson or something like that, and that would be a guarantee.
Yeah.
Then yeah, sure. But we need a win now. I mean, especially with everything in the East being as loaded as it is.
Right.
With the, I mean, yes, we beat the 76ers in Philadelphia, but the best version of that team is terrifying.
Yeah.
When they're, and you know, they still haven't completely worked out all of their kinks. Milwaukee is the second best team in basketball, as far as I'm concerned. And I mean, you could also make the argument that this season they are the best team. Toronto has been great. My boy Pascal Siakam has been playing out of his mind. And
wait, back up. Make that argument. Why are the Bucks a better team than the Warriors?
So, Giannis is having a MVP season. I honestly would, even though James Harden has been doing such crazy prolific offensive stuff, Giannis's overall gameplay and how he is able to keep everyone on his team involved is pretty spectacular. Middleton has been playing lights out. He's been shooting incredibly.
All-star.
Bledsoe defensively has been just amazing. He's been locked down. His offense has improved as well. Brogdon is like the best player that nobody's ever heard of. They play as a unit, and this is like the team that Coach Budenholzer always wanted when he was in Atlanta. And he took an Atlanta team that really, like, his best player was Al Horford. And he got them to a 60-win season, 60-plus win season. So now if you have Antetokounmpo, like, I mean, they're well-coached, they're deep, and they play as a unit, and there's no bullshit. There's no drama. There's no nonsense. Like, it's not Draymond Green screaming at Kevin Durant on the bench. There's none of that. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you have a 7-game series, I still think Golden State would probably win, but it's going to 7 games. Like, it absolutely is, unless there's some monumental meltdown. Because as good as Kevin Durant is and as good as Draymond Green is, neither one of them can really guard Antetokounmpo. And right. Draymond has really begun to fall off a cliff, and his game is not going to age very well. We've already seen, you know, seen flashes of that already. His defense isn't as good. His shooting has been absolutely abysmal.
Yeah, he seems a step slower than normal.
I mean, if you're a 6'7 center, like, that's not going to age well. Once you lose a step, that's not going to translate very well.
Right.
So I think that Giannis could really fucking eat them alive. And he can attack the basket like nothing else. He shrinks the court. He's a phenomenal athlete. And also, if he's just, you know, driving to the basket, they try clogging the lane. Well, then what do? You kick it out to Middleton or Bledsoe, and it's an easy 3-pointer. Or Brogdon. Like, all of those guys can shoot. Also, yeah. Quietly, Brooke Lopez has been one of the best 3-point shooters in the entire fucking league. Like, the team is deep. They have length. They have athleticism. They're defensively probably one of the best teams that I've seen in the last 5-6 years. They're really, really good.
All right. Fuck me. Do you think it's possible for voters to overcome the recently ended streak of the 32 or 30 plus points a game for Harden when it comes to an MVP vote, him versus Antetokounmpo? Do you think Antetokounmpo can overcome that?
So he probably won't, but I think that he should, because okay. It's not like, so Harden has really done something Herculean here with all of his scoring, and he has put that team on his back. But all he's doing is scoring. Giannis is doing everything.
Yeah.
He is scoring, he's rebounding, he's assisting, he's playing crazy D. Like, he's doing everything. He is the best overall well-rounded player since Apex LeBron, which we can talk about later.
Oh, we will.
So I personally would give it to Giannis, but it will most likely, like, my picks are either Giannis or Paul George. Mm. And then, I mean, then I would have Harden third, but I think Harden will probably be back-to-back MVP just because of what he's done scoring-wise, unless he, like, falls off a cliff for this last third of the season.
Why doesn't anyone care that Russell Westbrook is about to average a triple-double for, what is it, the third season in a row? Why does anyone give a shit?
Because he's been shooting terribly. He's taken a secondary role to Paul George, which is good. And I'm not going to, for a second, diminish his hustle. Like, mm-hmm. That dude, for all of his warts, that dude tries and is engaged every game, which cannot be said for a lot of professional athletes, let alone basketball players. He's always in it, and he wants it. But if you are one of the worst 3-point shooters in NBA history by any metric, and you just keep jacking them up like that, then the triple-double isn't as sexy as it was, you know?
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, he's shooting 27% from three.
Which is actually an uptick from where he was earlier in the season.
Oh, well, I swear to
God. He was at like 21% for a while.
Okay. I mean, they're, you know, for them to be third, I think that they're overachieving in at third. I just don't think that, for some reason, I just really still don't think, even with George and Westbrook, I just don't like the Thunder. I mean, they're one of these like perennial in the mix teams that just, I don't see them winning a playoff series necessarily.
Especially, I do.
I don't think playoff P is a real thing.
If Westbrook can get them a series win, that's about it.
Say again.
In Paul Gordon's defense,
yeah,
he has actually hit a game-winning shot that was not in a Gatorade commercial.
Well, it took him long enough, but it also wasn't in the playoffs. So I mean,
also wasn't in the playoffs. But so they are defensively really good. Like Steven Adams is a lot more of a beast than I think people give him credit for.
That's true. I am not giving him credit right now.
The casual NBA fan probably doesn't appreciate what he's done. Dennis Schroeder has had a pretty decent season with them, surprisingly, even though I fucking hate his hair so much. It's like something involving his mom. It's like a tribute to his mom or something. It looks so stupid. But Oklahoma is defensively super sound. Now, I mean, one of the reasons why I don't trust them the most is that I don't think that Billy Donovan is that great of a coach.
Yeah.
I feel like they swapped a very vanilla coach in Scotty Brooks for a very vanilla coach in Billy Donovan, who just doesn't really do it much creatively. And it's kind of on the talent that he has around him to play well. But I mean, who do you really see beating Oklahoma other than the Warriors? Because I don't see Houston beating them in a 7-game series, because if they just lock down on James Harden, they can win.
Are you talking about in a first round, or are you talking about in like a conference final?
Say what?
You're talking about in a first round or like in a conference final?
If it ends up being a conference final or whatever, I'm just saying like a playoff series, I don't see anyone in the West. I mean, you could make an argument that Denver could, because of what Jokic has been doing. Maybe Utah, but I think that Oklahoma has the athleticism, the depth, and the defense to be able to overcome just about anybody that's not in the Bay Area.
As it stands now, they would get Utah round one. So
yeah, and that's they win that.
Yeah, okay, but I don't think they get past the Nuggets.
You think? I mean that. Yeah, Denver's been really solid.
Yeah.
They've been really, really solid, but I would give the edge to Oklahoma, personally.
But
Jokic has just been...
Oh, lights up.
Unreal. He's been unreal.
Let's head towards the middle to bottom of these standings. And I'm going to name teams, and I want you to give me a reason why they won't make the 8 seed, even though they're all fighting for it. You only have a game and a half separating the 8, 9, 10 in the Eastern Conference. You've got... three games separating 8, 9, 10, and 11 in the West. We'll start in the East because we're going to probably spend a lot of time on that second tied seed, the 11 seed in the West, which is the Lakers. But do you think the Hornets, we could go up a little bit and say 3 games separate from 7 to 10. What's that?
Hornets are a no.
Okay, so I don't think the Wizards make up the ground. So do you think it's going to be... the Magic or the Heat in that 8 seed?
Do I have to pick one?
Well, yeah, if you the Hornets are in the 8 right now. If you tell me the Hornets are going to drop, then the Magic or the Heat are going to pick up. And I don't think that the Wizards, like we just said, have the stuff to make it up. They're 3 games back right now, or 4 games back right now from that.
It's so hard to say. So. The East is just so friggin' top-heavy.
Yeah.
Like, it's 14.
I mean, 7 and 8s right now have losing records. So, I mean...
just garbage. I mean, I would slightly give the edge to Miami, just because I think Spo is a better coach than what you have in, you know, Vogel in Orlando. But yeah, I'd be like, I don't feel super confident about that.
Yeah.
But I would just say because of coaching that I give the edge to Miami.
How are the Pacers still in the three?
So they have been playing really well despite their best player being out. And a huge part of it has been defense and has been, you know, Turner and Sabonis just playing incredible basketball. They also, unlike the Celtics, have spectacular chemistry. Like, these guys clearly like each other and they're able to play as a unit. And I think part of it is like, I think there's a little bit of like, let's do this for Victor going on.
Yeah.
You know, like our boy is down, but we don't want him to feel like he's let us down. So we're just going to keep hustling and keep grinding despite, you know, I still think they'd be a second round playoff exit, depending on who they get matched up against in the first round. But they've been playing really well, and a credit to them.
All right. So let's go then to the bottom of the Western Conference. Clippers, Spurs. Oh, we'll start at the seventh. Clippers, Spurs, Kings, Timberwolves, Lakers are all, that's a 4-game spread. Are the Lakers done at everyone? I know that LeBron, we all know LeBron is there. We all know he's played in 8 straight finals. The conventional wisdom is that if they don't make the playoffs, it's probably his biggest failure in his career. I don't necessarily see that as the case. If they don't make the playoffs and they do this kind of panic, you know, everyone's on these short deals, so these guys aren't really, most of them aren't sticking around anyway. Is it really a need to panic in LA if they don't make the playoffs just because they have LeBron? That team's not very good around him.
No, and it's a very weird team, and I'm not really sure what Magic Johnson was thinking.
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
I was a little bit surprised when everyone completely freaked out and were so excited when Magic Johnson became GM, because he's Magic and he's, you know, Showtime.
Yeah.
But no one really stopped to ask if he was qualified at all to be able to do any of this. Yes, he's been a successful businessman, but like, there's this theory that the A-plus student is never the best teacher.
No, and I was about to make examples of that with Elway as an executive, at least of late, and then
Jordan
as an executive currently. I'm sure there's plenty of other examples, but yeah, you know, the best, it goes down on the field and on the court level too, that the best coaches and, you know, assistant coaches and stuff are usually kind of marginal players, you know, like Alex Cora is a great example of that. He was slightly above average, but you know, like, you know, Jeter is another example right now, right? As an executive, but I don't think I would want Derek Jeter managing my team. Gabe Kapler in Philadelphia, you know, they had a better, not a great year, but better than a lot of people are expecting. So, they're a student of the game, not necessarily a superstar of the game, be in charge of what's happening. And the thing in LA too is it's not just one of them; it's two of them. It's LeBron and Magic.
Yep, and I mean LeBron is he is like a freaking natural disaster. Like, every single team he leaves is just in absolute disarray as soon as he's gone. And he makes it so.
That's like the Chris Paul theory.
He did it in Cleveland twice.
Yeah.
Because he wants to have his guys. And so he basically, you know, takes the team hostage. And he's like, well, you have to give Tristan Thompson this insane contract. You have to give J.R. Smith this insane contract.
Yeah.
And what did that get you, LeBron? and then you leave, and then it's just like a swarm of locusts has eaten Cleveland.
Yeah.
And he did that to them twice. There's a reason they've had so many number one picks, right?
Yeah.
He did that shit in Miami, too. Miami fell off a cliff the second he left.
To be fair, he didn't pick Anthony Bennett.
To be fair, yes. Yes. But now we're in a situation where, I mean, like, the combination of LeBron and Magic is really not working out the way Lakers fans had hoped. I mean, what the fuck were you thinking signing Michael Beasley?
Like, yeah, Michael Beasley should not be on an American basketball team.
No, like, go play in China with Stephon Marbury. Like, yes, what are
that's
you
where
doing?
They both should be.
Where – and the only one that I can see any sort of excuse for is Rajon. But,
yeah.
I mean, even then, like, you just – you have these guys that
can't – Rajon coachable? He's such a head case. It's like, I wouldn't –
he is a head case, but I mean, like, at least you have, you know what you're getting with him for the most part. And if he's got a little bit of playoff Rondo left in him, he's good to have on your team. I would say that, especially if you have like kind of a hierarchy of superstars and stuff like that. So having a LeBron there, or when he was on New Orleans with Anthony Davis, like he's been good, but part of it is, they just don't play defense at all.
At all.
Like, they don't play defense at all. And also, I mean, so LeBron hasn't been playing defense at all. And he's doing that thing that he did last year in Cleveland, where he basically took, like, you know, nearly 2 months off from really playing.
Yeah.
And LeBron is almost like, he's like that dude in pickup basketball who is really good and is great at scoring, but the second he fucks up, he like fakes an injury because of course it had to be like, oh, well, this guy fouled me, or I felt something pop in my leg or something like that. Like,
I've been that guy.
Because he couldn't save face enough to be like, yeah, I fucked that one up.
Yeah.
Like, I just, man. Fuck him. I'll tell you, but in positive news of the Western Conference, Sacramento, baby.
Yeah, the Queens are back.
Boys all season. They've been playing great. De'Aaron Fox looks amazing. The backcourt of Fox and Hield has been great.
How mad are you if you're Magic and you're sitting watching De'Aaron Fox be the player that I personally knew De'Aaron Fox could be. But you, in that draft, you sat there and you were like, yeah, Lonzo Ball is the future of this team.
Yeah.
And that freshman-heavy, first 12 picks, freshman-heavy round, and just hit after hit after hit after Fultz and Ball. And you're sitting there like, and now we have LeBron on this team, and he can't even bring this fucking disaster into the 8 seed.
Well, so... in defense of Lonzo, I like Lonzo. I think Lonzo. God.
Well, that's great, Alex Brown. This podcast is over, Alex Brown. I appreciate your sentiment.
No, but so Lonzo, in a lot of ways, reminds me of Ben Simmons, and I'm not saying that he's anywhere near as good as Ben Simmons, but he reminds me of Ben Simmons in that for them to be the best version of themselves, they need the exact right team around them.
Yeah.
Because neither one of them can shoot. But Lonzo really does have, I mean, his eyeballs are like satellite dishes when he's got the ball in his hand and he's trying to get the ball to somebody else. He is really good. He still needs to work on bulking up a little bit so he can defensively be a little bit more sturdy. And he needs to get a more consistent shot. But I like Lonzo, and although I'm not exactly certain, I'm not saying that he'll ever make an all-star team, but I think he could have a very nice career in the NBA. And I think that if in the right system, he could really thrive. So I'm not going to poo-poo Lonzo too much. Is he De'Aaron Fox? Hell no, he isn't.
Yeah, no, he's not. And he's not close.
Nope.
Who's there longer, Lonzo or LeBron?
Oof.
The way things are going, probably LeBron.
Yeah. Because you're going to have to ship everybody, right? If you're going to add, if they do wind up going after and getting AD, then.
Well, I think New Orleans has already squashed that.
You think that's over?
I think Davis will have to wait until he's a free agent to sign with the Lakers because, you know, I think that that old lady in New Orleans who owns two professional sports teams is just giving them the double guns right now.
Yeah. Well, you can't also – it's just like you got to – you can't – if you're going to trade for him this offseason, you got to know he's going to sign an extension. If you can't mortgage the team's future – you know what I mean? For one potential season,
will,
Anthony Davis on the same court. And now you've gotten rid of Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball. And you're sitting there with Stevenson, Rondo, AD, LeBron, Jack Nicholson, and no draft picks. and then he doesn't resign.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Sorry. So who moves into that eight? You think the Spurs stay in the eight? Or you think the Kings work their way up?
I think the Kings can do it, man. I think the Kings can do it.
So if the Kings, if you're putting the Kings in, then you're saying the Lakers are not going to make the playoffs.
I don't think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs.
Is that LeBron's greatest career failure?
No, his greatest career failure is not being able to post up J.J. Barea. That's the greatest career failure.
I'll do one better. I think his greatest career failure is, and they won the game, but getting dunked on by Jason Tatum was, I'm going to keep that as a homer pick. That dunk was gnarly sauce.
That was great.
All right, so we'll sneak them in, the Kings. And it would be a shame if they didn't make it, especially, but this is, like you said, the West is always loaded. And, you know, you're looking at teams, which isn't super fair because I don't know why I just hold 500 as like the benchmark. And, it's the middle. That's why. But like, you know, if you're sitting in nine right now, you're the Kings, you're over 500 by two games. You don't make the playoffs. And then two teams in the East make the playoffs, a losing record.
Yeah, I know. It's so frustrating.
And you know, you could definitely beat those two. Well, I mean, those two teams are going to be, you know, the Magic might get in. The Hornets get in, the Pistons get in, let's say. Hornets are in the eight and Pistons are in the seven. And I don't think the Nets end up over 500 because, I mean, they're not playing well as of late. So, or as of the season necessarily, but definitely overachieving, but not lately without Dinwiddie. So, there's always a little bit of that, like, it should be a total seed thing or like a reseeding thing or, you know, whatever, seed everybody. And the NBA is generally usually the best case for that. Do you have lend any credence to that or like it should be the 16 best teams in the entire league or no?
Oh, I've never fully understood why it's East and West. I feel like it should be more akin to football, which is, you know, your conference is like, you know, national and American or something like that. Like I don't see the point in doing this East-West thing anymore. It seems silly, and it's got to be frustrating to a lot of Western Conference teams when a, you know, barely 500 team or a sub-500 team is getting a playoff slot. Like, where's the fucking rationale in that?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make sense to me either. I just don't it's going to take one league to do away with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to take one league to be like, listen, dude, we've been seeing, you know, it's going to take like the Hawks getting in the 8-1 year at like 20-62 and then going the first round and just getting murder faced by like the Bucks or something, losing every game by 30 points. They don't play the fourth game in the sweep because it's just too embarrassing. You know, shit like that. It's going to take like a real clear, and then and the only sport that can really do it, the only two sports can really do it are basketball or hockey, right? So like, and if hockey does it, and hockey's been doing a lot of innovative stuff that no one gives a shit about because no one watches hockey, like the way they do the All-Star game now and all that kind of stuff. But for a progressive league, as the NBA holds itself up to be, and for obvious reasons, there's a lot of black people around. I'm serious. So yeah, there's lots of black people chilling around the NBA. Wow. So, and that's, you know, that's why people look to it for, like, a lot of times for, like, innovation as far as gameplay and rules and shit. So it's going to have to happen sometime. And if, you know, everything's cyclical, right? So remember, you know, as few as 5 years ago, we were talking about it pretty heavily when, you know, you had five teams in the East with winning records getting in, and all these, like, real, you know, all three of the top seeds are getting walks in the first round because the Wizards are garbage or the Heat are garbage or whatever. So, yep. You know, it'll come around again, I think. And it's the reason I mentioned now is because I think we're kind of looking like we're headed back that way to this, like, top heavy East. So,
yeah.
Which is frustrating.
Sure is.
Who are we? Is there anyone? I'm trying to think if there's anything I'm missing as far as NBA right now. I don't think so. That's really all that's going on in sports. It's tough. No one else is playing right now. I don't get a shit. You know, have you watched any AF yet? Any American Alliance of Football?
I haven't even bothered.
You know what, man? It's not terrible. It's not good, but it's not awful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's worth, like, a click by on a Saturday night type of thing.
I mean, I also
watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or something like that. You know what I mean? I mean,
it's only on NFL Network, right?
No, it's on CBS Sports Network as well.
Oh.
So, yeah, there's usually games like 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock on Saturdays. I watched one game. It was San Diego and their bad nickname against another poorly nicknamed team with ugly uniforms. But the play on the – first of all, the play on the field wasn't awful, and the crowd wasn't – it wasn't like six people. I was kind of shocked. There was, like, people there for it. So people are here for it. I'm still on the fence kind of, but, you know, it is what it is. And also we're going to have another league next year. So it's going to be kind of a glut. One of those two leagues is not going to survive, probably, is my guess.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what's going on with all of that. It seems like a bizarre circus to me.
Do you have a hot Bob Kraft take?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a hot take, but I mean, you know, in terms of good old Bobby, best case scenario, he was just getting a hand job.
Yeah, best case scenario.
Worst case scenario, he actually knew that there was trafficking going on. Either way, he's in a pretty shitty position and could have an unprecedented punishment. His recent history with good old Roger hasn't been spectacular.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't think he's going to be forced to sell the team or anything like that. It'll probably just be his son Jonathan taking over, but it's not looking good.
I mean, I had texted someone the other day and she had made the comment that people are like, I can't believe this happened to him. And it's like, he kind of did
that shit himself.
Yeah, exactly.
was done to him, but it wasn't.
but the way I put it is, it's again, it's just classic old rich white guy. You know what I mean? It's sadly par for the course a little bit.
Yeah, and old rich guy got caught doing a whole rich guy thing.
You know, I mean, it's classic rich old white dude. You know what I mean? And he was kind of a, you know, under the radar creep as well. As far as, you know.
I mean, he's been coming off the rails for a few years. Like, I feel like post wife dying, he kind of was just like, well,
yeah,
I have spiral. No one to keep me in check anymore. I'm just going to guzzle booze and get hand jobs.
Yeah. What's up with that? That's a thing that happens a lot, it seems, in sports. It's not like a midlife crisis thing, but it's like, you know, like, and maybe this just is because I haven't had a parent die, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, someone really influential in your life dies, and that's, I guess it's just because people's lives are under a microscope when they're that famous. So, like, when Tiger's dad died, for example. And then, I mean, he was probably a creep long before that, but then all that stuff kind of, you know, the way they blame it is that he had that, you know, really heavy influence in his life. And without it, he kind of went off the deep end a little bit. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of that.
He's fucking old.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, man. If you're nearly 80, the woman who's been keeping your shit together for, you know, 40 plus years or however is gone, and you've just got all of this money and all of this power.
Yeah.
You're probably going to misbehave a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God, I hope he had no knowledge of what the hell
was going on there. Yeah, for obvious reasons. And it's obviously really sad. You know, we're not trying to make light of it, but
no,
it's really unfortunate. But, you know, any participation in that, you know, the NFL is coming down pretty hard if he decides to. I mean, if he stays in the NFL, you know, if he stays as the owner, he's looking at a 7-figure fine easy. I mean, they gave Irsay $500,000 and he was just by himself with some drugs. You know what I mean? So
yep.
they tend to be, and as they should, they tend to be a little more strict with the owners versus players. But the potential for this and the black eye that it could bring to him and to the NFL is pretty large. So if he decides to stay in the ownership game, I wouldn't be surprised if he's paying a fairly hefty fine. I don't know if I'd go as far as saying that the team, like, to lose a draft pick or something like that, but you never know with Goodell because he's a loose cannon. So
And their relationship has been frosty since the thing.
Frosty is an extremely generous term for that relationship. Yep. Have you caught up with any wrestling yet? You know, we're going to WrestleMania in like 39 days. You watch any wrestling recently?
The last time I watched some wrestling was Monday Night Raw, and it was roughly a month ago, and I was pretty unimpressed. But okay. I have not been regularly watching. I'll try and catch up on some of it when my girlfriend is not around.
What? You know, first of all, we're going to have Izzy on the show so that we can convince her that wrestling is dope. Secondly, hold on, let me finish. Secondly, a month ago, wrestling was decidedly not dope.
All right, so but I caught it at a bad time.
Yes, but the past 2 weeks of wrestling have been rather good. So I would implore you to catch up. We only have 38 days until we go to New York for WrestleMania. So,
all right.
Yeah, man, you got to be invested, dude. It's looking like it's getting better. So. I'm not trying to take some uneducated clown down there. I'm not trying to explain to you all the storylines, or I'm trying to experience. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like I'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah, we're all going to be shattered. So
I'm just going to be screaming for whoever. And
nice.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is back from leukemia. You didn't know that?
Good for him. That's good news.
There you go. Yeah, man, you got to catch back up, dude. It's getting good. I'd
love to hear that when he got diagnosed.
It's just getting good, man. You got to come back.
All right.
Yeah, I can't squeeze anything else out of this sportsless time of the year. That's all I got.
All right. Sounds good.
I'll talk to you soon, brother. Thanks.
All right. Love you, buddy. Right. Bye.
Later, bye. In the land of the CEO. Yelling on the sidewalk naked. I put it on my mama's favorite. I'm savings up. They tell us we're not gonna make it. It's getting so hard just to make grand. If we don't know what to say, we gon' make it up. But all you wanna know.